Hello, and thanks for tuning in today. I'm Tony Alessandra, and this is People IQ. Most of us long to have conflict-free relationships in our working environment and even in our personal lives. But freedom from conflict will likely never happen. And it would be a mistake to attempt to completely erase disagreement from our lives. People naturally disagree about what to do and how and when to do it. That interaction of ideas and opinions, that give and take, sparks new ideas and leads to better solutions and action plans. However, when differences of opinion are accompanied by too much emotional commitment to one point versus another, the resulting conflict can, in fact, be damaging. When we become emotionally locked into one idea and one belief, that is the only one that can meet our needs and objectives, we enter into conflict with only two options: fight or flight. This program will give you the tools that will help you break out of a conflict routine once it actually has begun. By definition, conflict occurs when two or more people have a strong disagreement that is driven by a clash of goals, perceptions, and/or values. The three basic components of conflict are: 1, two or more people are involved. 2, there's a perceived incompatibility between ideas, actions, beliefs, or goals. And 3, the opposing sides see their way as the only way or the best way to achieve their goals or objectives. There is no way to avoid conflict in today's rapidly changing environment, but conflict can be managed. People can be taught communication techniques and conflict resolution techniques that help them avoid conflict or at least work through it once it's recognized. Each strategy for managing conflict has its advantages and disadvantages. One strategy might work better for a particular situation than another. Each option varies in regard to concern for self, which is the degree to which a person tries to protect his or her own interests, versus concern for others, which is the degree to which a person wants to satisfy the view of other people. In any case, familiarize yourself with these conflict management options so that you will feel more comfortable using them or guiding others in their use. Avoidance is an instinctive, simple response to conflict. By not confronting the problem, neither party is labeled winner or loser. However, avoidance rarely works, because it does nothing to make the conflict go away. Avoidance often takes the form of physical flight, falling asleep, or mentally withdrawing. You could recognize avoidance when someone changes the subject or tries to redefine the conflict so that it no longer seems to exist, or they abruptly leave the scene of the conflict or even tune it out. If the problem is inconsequential, avoidance actually can be an appropriate option, as with a manager who avoids getting involved with a minor employee dispute. Now, I'm going to have to take a short break, but keep in mind today's topic is conflict resolution. And when we come back, I'm going to give you several more tools that you need for peaceful conflict resolution. And this is crucial if, in fact, you want to avoid these major conflicts before they escalate into anger. We're talking about conflict resolution. Now, accommodation happens when someone simply gives in without actually working through the conflict. Although accommodation includes cooperative effort, it still requires sacrifice, turning conflict into a win-lose situation. Because assertiveness is not involved, there is a tendency for the losing party to repress his or her point of view. At least one of the parties involved plays down its differences while emphasizing common features. This exploitation of cooperative elements is beneficial when the accommodating party feels little personal involvement with the issue or has little to lose by giving in to the other. Accommodation may also ensure positive future relations. Accommodation provides a quick solution, which is, however, often temporary because the base issues are left unresolved. Frequently, the relative power of the parties influences the outcome more than the legitimacy of the complaints or the wisdom of each option. Accommodation responds to emotions, but doesn't manage them. Domination. Now, domination, this is a win-lose strategy, and it involves a struggle for power and domination over another party. The most powerful party, in some cases the manager, imposes a solution. Domination has its benefits. It resolves conflicts quickly, and it's effective when the parties recognize and accept the power relationship. Unfortunately, this strategy can create resentment among the involved parties if it's overused, because goals may be reached at another's expense. Consistent losers might feel that their needs will never be met and begin to withdraw from the conflict altogether. Domination fails to treat the root of the conflict, making it only a temporary solution. Next is negotiation. This is a compromising strategy that involves moderate levels of cooperation and assertiveness. Both sides state their position and try to reach an acceptable compromise. In salary negotiations, every dollar the employee wins, the company loses. Most negotiations attempt to minimize losses while maximizing gains, or at least creating a situation where everyone partially wins, but everyone partially loses. This can lead to a situation where no one is completely satisfied. Next is collaboration, which requires a high level of cooperation and assertiveness. Collaboration takes time and effort, but it does address the underlying issues of the situation or the conflict. This makes collaboration a generally long-lasting and productive conflict resolution strategy. Through face-to-face assertiveness and confrontation, the involved parties work through the conflict cooperatively. Now, rather than depending on negotiation or compromise, collaboration relies on creative problem solving to identify solutions that will meet the needs of all the parties. Through open communication and identification of the goals and objective of each of the parties, new avenues of exploration can be identified and often totally unexpected solutions appear. Let's talk about the four basic components of collaboration. Obviously, if it's important to you to resolve a conflict positively in a way that enhances the relationships involved, collaboration is far more effective than avoidance or other strategies of conflict resolution. There's four basic components of collaboration. Understanding and respecting. Now, collaboration assumes equality in the standings of the parties. Even if there's differences in the power or status of one or more of the parties, for the purpose of this conflict resolution exercise, the goals and objectives of each person are presented equally. After presenting the goals and objectives, there may be a need to rank and evaluate them logically, but it's done with the participation of all parties. Each member of the group tries to stay focused on the organization's goals rather than individual objectives. Time for a break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to People IQ. I'm Tony Alessandra, and today I'm talking about conflict resolution. Let's talk about assertiveness. For a collaboration to succeed, each person must feel safe in expressing his or her ideas and opinions. Each position needs to be presented as powerfully as possible. People often confuse assertiveness with aggression. Now, aggression is assertiveness without regard for the needs of the other person. Assertiveness says, here's my position, what's yours? Aggression is, here's my position, take it or leave it. Next is creative problem solving. Good creative problem solving skills can help define a solution that results in a win for each person. It's important to focus on the problem rather than one specific solution or even all the different specific solutions that you can come up with. Spending time identifying as many potential solutions as possible before proceeding with evaluation is absolutely crucial here. Avoid dwelling on the history of the problem, which often involves placing blame on somebody. Next is confrontation. Confrontation is a specific communication strategy, a way to change behavior through constructive feedback. During an emotionally charged conflict resolution session, it's often necessary to use confrontation to break through a communication barrier. For example, two coworkers have competing priorities that have created conflict between them. Coworker two consistently is late delivering necessary information to coworker number one. Coworker number one may decide to confront coworker number two by telling him the impact his behavior is having on the organization. Confrontation is a useful strategy, but it has to be done skillfully, or it can actually escalate the conflict. Now, the next section gives you a model for handling different levels of conflict through confrontation. And we call it the confrontation continuum. The confrontation process allows you to get at the root causes of the conflict in a productive manner. You are indirectly trying to say, let's exchange ideas pleasantly and comfortably. I'll try to hear you and will take your opinion into account before I state mine. Then I want you to hear my opinions and take them into account. Once we have heard our opinions, we'll then decide on the best option. This is not a contest for superiority. Here are some confrontation strategies that can be used to resolve conflict. They're progressive. So as the conflict moves from being merely a matter of achieving understanding to more need for behavior change, the confrontation can incorporate each of the preceding strategies. So first is reflection. In this stage, you're demonstrating your sincere desire to understand the other person's feelings and needs. You're gathering data, building rapport with the other person. By reflecting the feelings that you hear the other person expressing, you're giving him or her a chance to correct your impression and to elaborate on your comment. Here's an example. I understand that you feel unappreciated because you're not invited to the weekly staff meetings. So that's one way of dealing with conflict. Now let's move to another level, an I statement. With an I statement, you're revealing your feelings, asserting your own needs and objectives in a non-judgmental fashion. You want the other person to understand your feelings and your reasons. Here's an example. I feel angry when you ignore the safety rules because you and others might get hurt. Now, how about diplomatic disagreement? In the diplomatic disagreement stage, you're trying to achieve understanding in a tactful, gentle manner. You want the other person to understand your reasoning, and you're trying to understand his or hers. You want the person to know that you value the relationship. Here's an example. I understand that you think we need a new computer. I appreciate your position and realize that you think it will improve our productivity. I believe we should wait because a new model is about to be released. Now, next on the continuum, gentle confrontation. Here, you're actually trying to cause a change in behavior and build the relationship at the same time. You want to suggest the change in a tactful, somewhat tentative fashion. The format includes reflection, which is an indication that the other person is valued. It includes an I statement and an indication of the consequences. Here's an example. You think the accounting department should pay our vendors immediately. I appreciate your position and understand that it helps you negotiate better prices. I feel frustrated, however, because I'm trying to manage our cash flow as well as our profits. And if you continue to pressure the accounting department, it'll make it much more difficult for me to manage the cash flow and investments. That can result in vendors going unpaid and a reduction in profits that can impact our profit sharing. Sometimes gentle confrontation just isn't enough. Now, when I come back, I'm talking about firm confrontation. I will have that and a lot more in just 3 minutes. So stay tuned to People IQ. I'm Tony Alessandra, and today on People IQ, it's all about conflict resolution. Now, the highest level of the confrontation continuum is firm confrontation. In the firm confrontation, you're trying to clear up disagreements and cause a definite change in behavior. The changes in behavior is your primary objective. Here's an example. You think the accounting department should pay our vendors immediately? I appreciate your position and understand that it helps you negotiate better prices. I feel frustrated, however, because I'm trying to manage our cash flow as well as our profits. If you continue pressuring the accounting department, it'll make my job much more difficult to manage the cash flow and investments. That actually could result in vendors going unpaid and a reduction in profits that can impact our profit sharing. In the future, I would appreciate it if you would come to me for any special early payment requests. Now, throughout the entire confrontation process, there's some basic guidelines that certainly will help make the process more productive. One is timing. Is the person ready to listen? If you're trying to tell someone why showing up late for work every single day isn't in his best interests, doing it right after he checks in probably isn't a good time. He knows he's late, and he knows you know he's late. He's probably feeling defensive. Now, what I would hear is wait until you have something positive to say about his performance. Then you can tell him how his tardiness is affecting the overall perception of his commitment and performance. Next, focus on current specifics. Talk about behavior that is happening today, not something that happened last week or last month. State your feelings. When you tell someone how you feel, you're keeping the conversation open rather than focusing it only on the other person. Now, there's five basic behaviors that will help you resolve conflict in almost any situation you encounter. The basics are openness. State your feelings and your thoughts openly, directly, and honestly, without trying to hide or disguise the real object of your disagreement. Next is empathy. Try to understand and see the situation from her point of view. Remember, put yourself in the other person's shoes and try to feel what they feel. Next is supportiveness. Describe the behaviors that you have difficulty with rather than evaluating them. So describe rather than evaluate. Next is positiveness. Try to identify areas of agreements and emphasize those. Next is equality. Treat the other person and his or her ideas and opinions as equal to yours. The conflict resolution guidelines and the confrontation continuum strategies, help us achieve understanding or help us achieve a change in behavior without destroying the other person's morale. Conflicts offer many benefits if we can resolve them in a productive manner. Healthy disagreement can have a positive, generating effect. As people are forced to work through a problem to its solution, they get a chance to better understand the point of view of others. Successful resolution of small conflicts can diffuse the possibility of more serious conflicts and result in much better working relationships. I'm Tony Alessandra, and I hope you join me again for People IQ. The process of exploring problems collaboratively can lead us to acquire more information, new perceptions, and new ideas. Issues can be clarified. Sometimes it's only through conflict resolution process that organizations identify and highlight key issues that were rumbling under the surface and needed a healthy debate to become apparent.